Hey guys, welcome to episode 20 of the Mysterious Benedict Society Read Aloud Podcast, Book 4. Today we'll be reading chapter 20, but first a recap of chapter 19. So what we just learned is the 10 men changed the barrier release time from 24 hours to 24 minutes, but Rennie says it may be a good thing for them. The churn did not anticipate a barrier to hold them from Mr. Curtin's suite, so Rennie sees this as an opportunity to get through. The society had a bit of an argument concerning Rennie trying to always do things his own way, and Constance feeling unappreciated and uninvolved with everything. But thankfully, things were resolved and everyone was forgiven. Kate Sigan Rennie revealed to Constance that the keep was actually a giant trap for Tin Men that they had thought up long ago with Mr. Benedict, and it was all based on her. They all came up with a plan for when the barriers went up to split into three groups, one of Kate and Constance, one of Stiggy, and one of Rennie and Ty. The girls are planning to run to the safe room to draw the Tin Men away, while the boys are going to try to get to Mr. Curtin and Mr. Benedict. So that's the end of the summary, but before we begin today's episode, I have a shout out to give to Meadow. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you and everyone else enjoys the episode. Chapter 20. The Bait, the Barrier, and the Battle. "They're waiting at the barrier," Constance said as she and Kate left the control room. "Every one of them." "Perfect," said Kate. "We can give them a little wave as we pass by."
"I'll be doing more than that," Constance said in a low tone.
Moving at a brisk trot, the two followed the passageway along the wall of the exercise room. Sure enough, McCracken's enormous frame filled the entrance. It was a rather disconcerting to be running toward him. From a distance, there appeared to be nothing to prevent him from lunging forward and seizing them as they went past. But they knew the barrier was there, and as they drew nearer, they could see his eyes following them. He looked exceedingly amused.
"Well, well, well," McCracken began when they drew within earshot.
"It seems..." "Sorry, no time to chat," Kate interrupted, and Constance gave him a contentious glance.
"Oh, surely. Nope,"
Kate interrupted again. They hurried past, following the passageway toward the opposite corner of the room.
"That drove him crazy," Constance said with satisfaction. "He hates being interrupted. He didn't want to call after us, so, because it's hard to sound smug when you're doing that."
"Perfect again," said Kate. "That was my intention. And how about your special project?"
"We're all on the same page now. She told them what I was thinking, which is that you and I had split up from the boys, but then came to a dead end. So now we're trying to get back to them."
They were nearing the far corner of the room where the transparent barrier blocked the entrance to a short and rather plain-looking hallway. There was a closed door at the end of it, not a security door, but it made Kate nervous enough to reach for a utility belt.
"Be advised," she said. "If that door is locked, I'll have to pick it."
Constance's eyes widened.
"Really?"
"Don't worry, I'll be quick about it. Just didn't want you to be surprised." Kate tapped the barrier with her knuckle. "I don't suppose you could give them some idea of how we happened to be on the other side of this from Rennie and Sticky?"
"They know I'm mad and confused about how it happened," Constance said. "That's all I can think of."
"I can't imagine anything better," Kate said. "And how do you feel?"
Constance grimaced. "Queasy, a little trembly. I really laid it on thick until I was sure they bought it. I could hear Garrett and Sharp, too. They were right behind McCracken. They're all convinced, but yeah, I don't feel so hot."
"That's what I figured," Kate said. "You're the bee's knees, my dear. Just hang in there a little bit longer, and then you'll have the marvelous reward of being cooped up in a safe room with me for 24 hours. And the pleasure of turning the tables on these jerks, of course."
"I just hope Rennie can get to Dad quickly," Constance said. "I'm confused about how all this is supposed to work. Is there..."
Constance didn't finish her question, however, for just then something boomed in the ceiling above them, followed by a terrific squealing sound as the barrier began to slide slowly upward. As soon as there was room, Kate rolled under it and flew to the door by the end of the hallway. It was indeed locked.
"Teeny tiny bit of shame Sticky didn't know about this door," Kate muttered.
But with her lock-picking tool, she had the door open by the time Constance joined her, and after the two of them had hurried through, she closed the door and locked it behind them.
"How far is it to the safe room?" Constance asked as they took off a well-lit, curving corridor.
"It's a fair distance," Kate said, not wishing to discourage her. "We'll have to go past all the security suites to get there," she said just as they were passing the first one. Its door stood open, revealing a glimpse of a bed and a chair.
"Oh, they really are cozy."
The security suites were spaced four to a corridor. Constance and Kate were in the second corridor and had just passed the sixth security suite when a great echoing smashing noise sounded in the distance behind them.
"That was probably McCracken opening the door," Kate panted.
"It was," Constance gasped. The two of them hurried on, both breathless and exhausted now. They could hear the sounds of many footsteps, but the Tin Men were walking, not running.
"They're being careful," Constance said. "They want to make sure we're not hiding in one of the security suites, waiting for them to go past us."
"Sorry, I have to walk," she slowed down, clutching her side.
"This really isn't the moment for walking," Kate said.
"Here, it will be just like old times." She stooped forward and Constance climbed into her back.
"Oh, wow, you've grown a bit since then."
"Was I not supposed to?" Constance retorted.
Kate staggered a few steps, adjusted her grip on Constance's legs, and set out jogging. They reached the third corridor, the sounds of footsteps still echoing behind them. But they had a good lead, and the sound of footsteps diminished, and Kate's confidence grew stronger with every step, even as her legs grew weaker. And soon enough, they were past the last of the security suites, curving into a fourth and final corridor, at the end of which they could see, facing them, the open doorway of the safe room. They hurried past maintenance and storage closets until finally, with profound relief, they found themselves standing outside the safe room. The room could hardly have appeared less welcoming. No furniture, a curtained-off toilet, and a sink in one corner, and a big red button on the wall. But the button promised safety, and that would made it beautiful. The safe room might have been a ballroom, and the button a chandelier. Constance slid down Kate's back. "Thanks," she said, absently, for her mind was elsewhere. Suddenly she frowned. "Something's wrong. The security cats are nervous. They think something's up. She can hear them whispering about it, and it's scaring her." Kate ushered Constance into the safe room and whipped out her walkie-talkie. "Sticky, you need to drop the barriers immediately. Over."
"There's a problem with that," came Sticky's reply. "I haven't figured out how to disable the warning system yet, and a fair number of 10 men are within sprinting distance of the barrier. I'm looking at them on the monitors right now. They could reach it in 10 seconds. Over."
Kate raised her walkie-talkie again. "Are any of them within a 10-second sprinting distance of us?"
"Negative, not yet, and they've all slowed down. They stopped. They seem to be discussing something. Over."
Kate turned to Constance. "Promise me you'll stay in here right now, okay? Promise me, Constance."
Constance looked distraught. "What are you going to do?"
"I'm going to draw them farther in. As soon as I do, I'll tell Sticky to drop that barrier and hightail it back here. When you see me coming, you hit that button."
Constance was shaking her head in horror.
"You're exhausted. What if you don't make it? You'll be trapped out there with them."
"Constance," Kate said firmly, "I promise you I would do my absolute best to not let that happen. Trust me on that. But I can't manage anything if you take you with me. So you have to stay in this room no matter what. Promise me, okay? And make it snappy."
Constance fought back tears.
"I promise," she said in a strangled voice.
Kate kissed her on the head and charged from the room. The third corridor was empty, but by the time she reached the end of it, Kate could hear McCracken's deep voice. He was politely issuing some kind of order, though she couldn't make out his words. She suspected he was trying to find out why some of the others were lagging.
"Get up, Constance," Kate hissed into the empty air.
"Get up! Rennie found them! Come on!"
Dead silence now issued from the other corridor. Just as she intended, she'd been overheard. She waited, steadying her breathing, preparing herself. She thought that Sticky might tell her if the plan was working. He could see that on the monitors what was happening. But then she realized that if he spoke to her over walkie-talkie, McCracken might hear what he said.
"Sticky," she hissed into the walkie-talkie. "Wait for us there. We're almost there. Constance is dragging. Don't reply. Over."
She waited. It was very possible she knew that McCracken was sneaking toward her, moving in practiced silence. She withdrew a few paces. How was she supposed to know if the rest of the 10 men were also on the move? Had McCracken silently beckoned them in further? Or had he signaled for them to stay put? She tried to think, but her mind was racing and all she could hear was Constance's voice in her head saying, "Wait, that really was Constance's voice in her head." Kate shoved her other thoughts aside.
"Please start over," Kate said, and Constance did.
McCracken issued orders for the others to either catch up or send an explanation forward. Everyone was hurrying to him except for the scaredy cats and Crawlings. The brothers are nervous and she's scared, and Crawlings is staying with her. They're moving, but very slowly. They're extremely wary.
"Can you nudge them?
From here?
No. I'm getting all this through her."
"Can you reach Sticky? You can picture where he is. He isn't far."
"I'll try."
Kate waited, listening hard. She heard nothing. She could envision the other corridor, could imagine a long line of elegantly dressed men standing silently in it, or creeping quietly in her direction. Life is weird, she thought. Then Constance was back.
"Sticky thinks they're all out of range of the barrier now. But, wait, no! Kate, the scaredy cats and Crawlings have changed their minds! They know it's a trap! They're turning back!"
Kate raised her walkie-talkie.
"Drop them now, Sticky! Now, now, now!"
A clanging bell sounded in the distance. The recorded voice issued its warning about standing clear of the doors.
"Well, that's a shame," Kate said to herself, and to her walkie-talkie she said,
"Don't feel bad now. I know you tried. Over."
From the next corridor, McCracken's voice thundered.
"Come back! Don't even try, fellows. You'll never make it. Come with me. If they wish to trifle with us, we'll make them pay dearly. Starting with you, darling Kate. I know you can hear me."
This speech was followed by the sound of several large men breaking into a run, and Kate's stomach seemed to squeeze to the size of a marble. She had already turned to flee, but she had also done the math in her head. By the time she reached the safe room, there would be no 10-second gap between her and her pursuers, if there was any gap at all.
"Sticky," Kate said into her walkie-talkie, "drop the safe room barrier now, too. Right now."
"Roger that," came the reply. "You have 10 seconds. Please make it."
From the fourth corridor came the sounds of warning system, and even as Kate ran toward it, before she had taken 3 steps, she knew there was no way. Her legs were spent. She couldn't run full speed, not even close. But Kate being Kate would do her best anyway.
As she neared the end of the third corridor, she heard McCracken's footsteps suddenly grow clearer, which meant that he rounded into view. Instinctively, she dropped into a tumble, and sure enough, a pencil whizzed through the air above her. Then she was on her feet again, stumbling into the final corridor. "Hurry!" Constance screamed from inside the safe room. She was frantically beckoning Kate with both hands. Dutifully, if not hopefully, Kate hurried. She was halfway there when the barrier dropped. "No!" Constance wailed. "No, no, no!" She banged on the barrier with her fist. Kate slowed to a walk, so that was that. She approached the barrier until she stood face to face with a crying Constance on the other side. "Sorry, Connie girl, I did try my best, I promise." She saw Constance's face change and knew that McCracken had appeared in the corridor behind her. She didn't bother taking evasive action just yet. She knew that upon seeing her trapped like this, McCracken would toy with her. "You should close that interior door," Kate said to Constance. "Things could get messy out here. You don't need to see it." Constance scowled at her. "I will not." "Well, do me a favor anyway. Use that special noggin of yours and tell Mr. Benedict the situation here, okay? And listen to me. He's going to be fine, I promise. Things may be look dicey right now, but the important thing to remember is this. We've won." "Is that supposed to be our new stupid slogan or something?" Constance said, still crying. Rennie was thinking the same thing outside. "Well, it's true if you think about it. We trapped them. Now please tell—" "Oh, dear Kate," McCracken called out. "I see you have plenty of time for a chat now. Were you hoping to find yourself on the other side of that barrier by any chance? You were running so slowly I thought you were trying to lure me into yet another trap. Ha ha, I do believe you were just tired." "I'm tired of your voice, that's for sure," Kate said, turning to face him. McCracken grinned. "Is that so? Well, enjoy your witty retorts while you may, Kate, my dear. I may not seem so, but I am exceedingly angry." He held up his briefcase and gave it a jingle. "I intend to take it out on you, I'm afraid. You may have noticed that your daddy isn't here to protect you." Sharp, Garrett, and a handful of other tin men came into the corridor behind McCracken. The corridor was just narrow enough, and McCracken was just huge enough, that Kate couldn't see them clearly, but it didn't matter. She had a difficult red ahead of her. She saw that clearly enough. "I'm with you." Kate stiffened. She looked back at Constance, who nodded once. Her eyes were fierce. "Well, okay," Kate said aloud, "you and me. But take it easy on yourself, Connie girl." She took out her tranquilizer gun and turned back to McCracken, who was shaking his head in amusement. "Do you really wish to waste your darts?" McCracken said. "I've a briefcase. You've seen how that works. Or are you planning on tranquilizing yourself? I have to say that would be the wisest course." Kate shrugged. "The darts aren't for you." "No? Do tell me who they are intended for." "For whoever is left," Kate said. She frowned. "Or whomever. Whatever the case, in the meantime, before you say goodnight, allow me to tell you that this spectacle of a bunch of tin men threatening a couple of young women is really not the thing. It's time for us to change the narrative, McCracken, my dear." McCracken's thick eyebrows went up. "Oh, my, my, my," he goughed. "So your idea is to—" He looked suddenly confused. "Wait, this is very strange. I have a powerful urge to take out my handkerchief, place it against my nostrils, and breathe deeply." "Knock yourself out," Kate said. McCracken promptly did. With their enormous leader on the floor, Sharp and Garrett now stood fully exposed. It is a rare thing to see a tin man startled, but they looked quite startled. They saw Kate's tranquilizer gun pointed at them, and each instinctively lifted his briefcase, prepared to deflect incoming darts. But Kate didn't squeeze the trigger, and their startled expressions turned to puzzlement. Kate heard Constance give a little moan of misery behind her. Without looking back, she said, "Okay, that's more than enough. You need to lie down." "No," groaned Constance, "not yet." Sharp and Garrett tossed their briefcases onto the floor near McCracken's. They looked thoroughly confused, and they flapped their hands violently as if they'd just been shocked. Then, as if the motion reminded them their shock watches, they extended their hands and shook them until their watches were clean off their shirt cuffs. An electrical whine filled the room. The men turned to each other like sleepwalkers. There was a flurry of wires between them, and they, too, were on the floor. Kate heard Constance throwing up. "Oh, you poor thing," she cried without looking back. "Did you at least make it to the toilet?" "The sink," came Constance's miserable reply. "Gross," Kate said. The other three tin men in the corridor, astonished by their comrades' inflexible behavior, had stood frozen all this time. Now, however, they leveled their gazes at Kate. She had never met this particular man, and they were familiar enough with their expensive suits and their briefcases and shiny shoes, their friendly expressions and cruel eyes. She could tell they were poised to spring. She saw their hands slide into the latches on their briefcases. Then she saw them remove their handkerchiefs from their suit pockets and knock themselves out. Momentarily alone in the corridor, Kate risked a glance behind her. Kate was leaning against a barrier, her horrible pale face pressed against it, so her nose looked like a pig snout, her glassy red eyes and her mouth hanging open. "Oh, you beautiful, beautiful girl," Kate said. She felt tears start to her eyes. "Please lie down, Connie girl. You've done more than enough. You've saved me." "Uh-uh," Constance moaned. She appeared to be drooling. "You saved me." Okay, fine. We're both pretty amazing, Kate said with a laugh. Now lie down. Constance tried to shake her head, but the effort caused her to lose her balance, and she sank to her knees. Then she sagged over onto her side and drew her knees to her chest. Maybe just a minute, she mumbled. That's the ticket, Kate said soothingly. You rest. I'll be back in a bit to check on you. By the time Kate had walked all the way back to the first corridor, she had fired 4 tranquilizer darts, and 4 tin men now lay here and there, their neckties askew, their poses anything but elegant. She would have given them other options, but although the tin men had lacked briefcases, they had retained their usual inclination to attack when frightened, angry, or bored, and so Kate had put them down for their naps. Now, as she made her way over the shattered door the McCracken had smashed upon his entrance, she found that the scaredy cat staring wistfully out through the barrier, like children trapped inside on a rainy day. I must say I'm surprised, Kate said as I turned to look gloomily at her. You didn't make it out? They shook their heads in union. One of them, was it Felix? Said, that devil Crawlings knocked us down in order to get past us. He didn't have to do that, the other brother said. He really didn't. He just tried to make it seem like it was the woman's fault too. Just poor form. Poor form indeed, the other agreed. So, Crawlings was out there, Kate thought with a pang of worry. She hoped her beloved bucket was held up under the barrier, otherwise Sticky was in a terrible spot right now. Well, I've dispatched McCracken and all the others, Kate informed them. Shall we do this the easy way? The Catsreds agreed that, under the circumstances, the easy way would indeed be preferable. In a life full of headaches, they said, it was best to avoid them when one can. Very wise, Kate said as she locked each brother into its own security suite. Only take necessary risks, right? Then, although she was very tired, Kate set about her final task. It was no easy thing to remove all the tinmen's weapons, shock watches, and neckties. Mostly, but a few of them had dagger shoes, and of course, so was McCracken's dangerous tooth. Then drag each man down the log corridors and lock him up in his new home. But Kate could no longer leave all those tinmen lying about than she could leave a table covered in dirty dishes. And just as she often did when clearing the table, Kate whistled while she worked.